Ooh, who's the man?
I'm the man. Oh, shit. Are you the man, too? Tell me you're the man.
I'm the man.
Yeah.
I crushed the date.
I crushed the committee meeting.
So Cobra Kai's in?
Hell yeah, we're in. Cobra Kai's back, baby.
All right, I'm gonna grab a soda. Do you want a banquet?
No, no. It's called for a real toast. Oh, the good stuff for real men. Drink it or put hair on your balls.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Okay. It's a Cobra Kai.
Never accept defeat.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
And this week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 1 Episodes 7 and 8.
Coming into the home stretch for Season 1.
Yeah. It's All Valley and Molting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no news this week. There's really nothing coming out for Cobra Kai, so we're just, you know, we know it's going to drop on Netflix at some point. The way they put it, it sounded like the first two seasons will drop first and then they'll come up with season three, but they weren't even clear whether that was going to be this year, so we're just waiting to hear more news on that.
Yeah, bummed, but hopefully we'll get a day as soon as we hear something.
I mean, what would be perfect is if it would drop like right after we wrap up season two coverage.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Would be nice timing.
Because we're going to really want to see it then.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Yeah. Right away. I forget now when it was. Oh, well, if it's on Netflix, chances are it will all just come out on the same day. Not weekly.
Yeah, most likely.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
Yeah, so it'll be out and we'll have to, well, do what I normally do when we cover Netflix shows, and that's just watch week by week.
Yeah. So Rima covers Netflix shows on Strange Indeed, and I did Lock and Key with her on there, which was really fun. But we have to sit there and try not to get spoiled because everybody binges it and we're doing week to week. And I can't watch ahead or else I'll get confused about, you know, what I'm podcasting on.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, let's get into this week's couple of episodes. It's our top three highlights for Cobra Kai season one, episodes 7 and 8. As you mentioned, All Valley and Molting. Did you guys like these ones? Rima, did you like these ones?
I did. Lots of great throwbacks.
Yeah.
Good heart throughout, and fun teenage romance, and just a lot of fun things I think about the episode. I really enjoyed it. They went by really fast. I mean, I forget sometimes, I get so into the story and I forget how quickly the episode's over, especially this. For some reason, the second episode felt faster. They were both like 20 minutes, but for some reason, that second episode felt like 10 minutes. And I was like, wait, it's over already? And it was so hard to like hit pause and like, you know, because it was one to keep going or whatever to the next one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
And it's just a little thing, but I really like how in the beginning they set up some situation and then they do the Cobra Kai title at just the right time. Mm-hmm. And at the end they'll have something often like an exclamation point at the end of the episode, like this one where Johnny was like, where's Daniel LaRusso live, and takes off on his bike, and then they show the Cobra Kai insignia.
Yes.
It just kind of adds a little explanation point at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second episode was dense. There's a lot mm-hmm. of stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Felt a little.
Did you like them too, Rich?
Yeah, I did. It felt a little soap opera-ish. There was a lot of drama, you know, the whole counterbalancing thing again. Something happens and something else happens and then something else happens. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. Like you said, Rima, it's like it went by fast. Like, it's already done. Well, what's going to happen next week?
I know. I was like, no, you're not allowed to watch. You can't keep going. But oh man, I wanted to. I was like, they'll never know. No.
All right. Let's get into the top three. Who wants to go first?
First, Rima. Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? So my number three, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there were some really great throwbacks in this episode. So I wanted to kind of just, and you guys probably have a list longer than mine, but I love seeing these things, and they do a great job with it in Cobra Kai, and we've talked about them before. But in this episode, it was fun to kind of see Daniel kind of in the same spirit training Robbie as Miyagi did with him. He had the whole wax on, wax off, and Daniel had a lot more cars to wax than Miyagi did. But he was showing him the wax on, wax off technique. There was a couple of new ones in there. I don't know what the real term was for, but like raising the flag, that was something a little bit different. right. Cleaning the windows, you know, with the squeegee was new. Jacking the car.
Right.
Which I have to admit, I'm like, I have never in my life seen anyone jack a car
right
like that.
So and if you did, they'd be like, what the hell are they doing?
Right. What are you doing? But that's the point. You're teaching him some karate motion.
Yes. But I was like, it almost looks like he's trying to dance or something, like this, you know, kind of little dance move or something. It looked just kind of odd. But, you
like
know, so that was
John Travolta or something.
Yeah. It had a little flair to it. And then sweep the floor.
He's like, at the end, he's like, oh shit, I was doing the disco routines.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be karate.
Yes. And then when I wasn't quite sure what he was doing, I mean, I kind of, when you see Daniel, when he would demonstrate for Robbie and be like, no, do it this way. And, you know, I was like, okay, I see what he's doing. He's like showing him the stance or showing him this move. And so it made sense. But what I wasn't quite sure was stapling the papers. I don't know.
I think that was kind of the point that, you know, it was really nice to see Daniel teaching, the student becomes the teacher, and he's, you know, taken Miyagi's ways to heart, and now he's teaching his student and even adding some of his own, like, you know, raising the flag. But then with the stapler and his wife is like, no, whatever. I think that was just kind of like, Daniel takes it a little far. He's a little overbearing with this stuff and just kind of gently making fun of it, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Maybe.
So I think it was a joke.
That would make sense. Cause I was like, I'm not quite sure what that was. Was it something, or was he again, when his wife's like, I think you're enjoying this a little too much, you know, was he just kind of throw it in there to mess with them? Like, no, you stapled this way, you know, kind of being silly. But,
I mean, I thought Daniel was serious, but it was sort of like Daniel, the show was saying that Daniel was taking it a little too far, but I don't know. It could be either one that Daniel was joking.
Well, and that makes sense. So you're probably right. But then, yeah, Robbie is finally, you know, gets pissed, you know, when he realizes there's a whole other lot of cars to wax, and, you know, kind of snaps it at Daniel, kind of like what he did with Miyagi when he got pissed and's like, you're just using me to get
bullshit.
Your chores done. Yeah. Which I thought, I was like, that's kind of brave to talk to your boss that way, but whatever. maybe that's what the kids do today. I don't know. So I thought that was a fun little callback when, you know, kind of like when Daniel does the same thing and, you know, when he doesn't realize that he's not just doing chores, but he's actually learning something useful, which he demonstrates later, like Miyagi did, you know, with Daniel when he finally got really mad and he's like, you know, well, show me wax on, wax off, and demonstrates for him how he's kind of learning all of the blocking moves.
And he had the same look on his face too, like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this.
How'd I do that? Cool. Yeah.
But, you know, I like when he said, this is bullshit, I thought you were going to teach me karate, I'm just doing all your shitty chores. And he says, I'm out of here in Karate Kid. And and Miyagi's like, Daniel, come here. No, I'm out of here. No, come here. And then he goes, show me sand the floor. But here, Daniel doesn't go get him. He's just smiling at himself. And I guess he's told his wife all the stories because she's like, I think you're enjoying this a little too much. And he goes, God, I love this part. And I kind of got chills during that. Like, it was kind of meta for one thing. Like, he was saying, he's like one of us talking about the movie. I love this part. But it was just him kind of going, yep, this is how it goes. And now it's my turn to be on this side of it. So I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
it was really cool. One other callback that was fun was golf and stuff. When Miguel and Sam went out on their first date, looks like it's still a happening kind of place like it was in the 80s, which was nice, seeing some places still kind of holding up a little bit. And then the photo booth when Sam and Allie, yeah, that's right, Allie, huh? I said Allie because I was thinking of when Daniel and Allie, sorry, I was looking at Allie on my notes. But when they went to the photo booth and took some cute pictures, which I thought they make such a super cute couple. Seeing Miguel and Sam together, they look really sweet together. So I really like that. But some really great throwbacks that just, you know, kind of brought it all back for me. And I love fan service. I say, give it to me all day long. I'll take it. So
hear, hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I, when fan service is there and it doesn't make sense for the story, then I hate it because it feels cheap. You know, I think that's what JJ Abrams does all day long. He'll stick something in there just because it's fan service, but it doesn't even make sense. But when it does make sense, then it's awesome because it's like, they remembered and they captured the spirit of what happened before, or they do show it in a new way that makes sense for this story, kind of turn it on its head, and it's clever.
Yeah.
And I love it. So I think Karate Kid does that really well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a good job. Yeah. So that's my number three. Yeah.
So you mentioned the golf and stuff, and another thing that they're doing to call back to the original, but also keep the show fresh, is they will play some of the even the same songs. So with golf and stuff, they played this Young Hearts by Commuter. I'll play a little bit of it.
I thought that was the same song.
Yeah.
I didn't go back and watch, but I thought that has to be the same.
But they also have some cool new music just for the show that it feels like the Karate Kid vibe. But it's new, I think. And like when Daniel took Robbie out to train in nature, Daniel's talking, but you'll hear the music underneath.
When I was a kid, Mr. Miyagi took me to this beautiful lake up north to train. I tried to take Samantha there once, but after the drought, it's become more of a puddle. So I found this spot instead.
It's just nice. You know, they really do a good job of the music enhances the mood, I feel like.
Yep. Agreed.
Rich?
Number three. You know, I have golf and stuff. Golf and stuff. When they showed it, I was like, my very first thought was, hey, they're still in business.
Yeah.
And I think they are. Somebody told me it's still there, and maybe they took out the water slides, but the arcade and the putt-putt's still there.
Right,
is that a real place?
It is, actually, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know. We have places similar to that, but not called golf and stuff. So I didn't know that was like a real place. I thought it was made up for like the movie. So
yeah, no, it's down.
That's cool.
Down in Los Angeles somewhere. There's a bunch of people on the internet that do these filming locations then and now. So you can see what it looked like in the movie, and then they go to the same exact spot and they show it, and it's still there, minus, like Jason just said, the water slides, but it pretty much looks the same.
Awesome.
Yeah. I enjoyed that section.
I want to go on a date there.
Yeah, I enjoyed that section because it's exactly that. It gave me feelings of nostalgia, you know, growing up in the 80s, watching the kids have a drug and alcohol-free good time with no violence. Just like I used to do. Some things never change. I used to take a lot of dates to those miniature golf places back in the day. I never got any good at it, but it was a great place to go on a date. It was fun.
Did any of your dates ever flip you over and sit on you and kiss you?
No. And that was the other reason I liked it too, man. That was pretty hot. Samantha likes to be in control, huh?
Yeah. I love that scene because he's being kind of condescending, but in a genial way, like teaching her karate, and he puts his hands on her hip. Oh, you're going to put your hands on my hips, huh? But she's challenging him, and then she flips him over and sits on him.
Yeah. And gives him not a kiss on their not date.
Right. That was really, I that stuff gets me, man.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. So I enjoyed that section. you know, partly throwback, partly nostalgia. I can identify with that kind of stuff. That was cool.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I didn't have a mini golf place as a kid, but we had the skating rink. And yeah, it had an arcade. Too. And so that was that was my hangout in the 80s. Gosh, I loved going to that skating rink. So definitely kind of a lot of memories.
What was it called? You remember? Ours was called Roller King.
Yep. Roller King.
Rainbow Skate Land.
Rainbow Skate Land.
Is that 80s enough for you?
That's awesome. I used to like be nervous about it because it was where the cool kids would go to hang out, and you'd hear them talk about it at school. And I'm like, I want to go. And we'd go, and I didn't know how to skate. So, and you know, I wanted to talk to girls, but I didn't know how to talk to girls. And so I had to kind of learn how to skate and try to learn how to talk to girls all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you skate around the outside very gingerly at first, but then when you build up more confidence, you go in towards the middle and go faster and learn how to skate backwards and all that.
And all the girls are like skating, backwards and on one foot, doing the splits and
spinning
stuff.
Around.
And like, man. Can't do
and
that.
They're playing Blondie. That's what they're playing when I was a kid.
We have a little Wham.
Yeah. Well, one more thing that kind of ties in with the whole date is last time we podcasted, we were talking about the episodes where we saw a flashback of Miyagi saying, you know, remember the lesson about balance, not just for karate, it's for whole life. And he's saying that as Daniel's about to go off and see Allie at golf and stuff again in the car. Mm-hmm. And so this time when Miguel's about to go on a date with Sam and he's nervous about it, Johnny's like, you're a Cobra Kai, strike first, strike hard. It's not just for karate, it's for everything.
Yeah.
So he's using the lessons of Cobra Kai for everything too.
And Miguel, he was so happy afterwards when he went back to the dojo. And Johnny was excited because they celebrated their triumphs together, jumping up and down. I was like, that made me feel good. I was like, hey, that's
me
cool.
Me too. Are you the man? I'm the man. Are you the man? They give each other a hug.
He's the man too.
It's so awesome.
And
they played good
moment.
Music there too. And then I love that he gave him some hard alcohol because I'm dark like that. I thought it was really fun.
Bond over a beer. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yep.
All right. My turn. So my number one or three is Johnny's full of shit.
Uh-oh.
Which time?
But I actually think, and I want to talk about this more later, that this was a real growth episode for Johnny in a couple of different ways. But I love the scene. It was really fun to hear Johnny's version of the events of Karate Kid, where, you know, he finds out Miguel's dating Daniel's daughter, so he's got to sit down and talk to him about the LaRussos.
Right.
And so I'm going to go through that a little bit. So first off, it was really interesting to see that Johnny cared about Allie more than maybe we realized. Mm-hmm. That he said they were madly in love and that they had dated for 2 years. And, you know, he pulled out, I guess it was a headband that she gave him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one he wears all the time. Yeah.
Okay. And he still carries it with him. So that's saying something. And he also said the worst thing about losing that tournament was that he lost Allie. So it's clear that was a huge blow.
Hey, 2 years is a long time in high school. So that was quite a relationship. I didn't realize. I mean, because I don't think mentioned that in the movie, you know, how long that they dated. We didn't, you know, and then the headband, I didn't realize that she had given to him and that he still carries it and he still wears it, you know, this day. So it was like, wow, that he really... Sounds like you really cared for her. So.
A little bit manic about it. I think the love was one-sided.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. A little bit. So here's what he tells Miguel. He's saying the summer before his senior year, they got into a fight, but he figured they'd work things out. Then Daniel LaRusso came to town, and he saw them flirting, and we see a flashback of them messing around with the soccer ball and laughing. And Miguel's like, what'd you do? And he goes, so I walked over to have a civil conversation with Allie. But LaRusso kept butting in. I told him to get lost. Mind your own business. Out of nowhere, the guy sucker punches me. What an asshole. I know, man. I did what any dude would do. I defended myself. So then I went back and watched the scene in full just to get a beat by beat what actually happened.
Yeah.
So Johnny and the Cobra Kai ride up on their bikes and they see Daniel and Allie playing with the soccer ball, and he looks really pissed. And one of the Cobra Kai's says, "Hey, Johnny, it's ancient history." And the other one says, "Hey, man, I thought they broke up." "She did. He didn't." So they ride down. Allie sees them, kicks the ball away. So Daniel will go get it. Seems like she knows that he'd be in danger if he's there. Then Johnny's like, "Hey, Allie, I want to talk to you." And she says, "Would you just leave me alone? We've been over all this. I don't want to talk." And so the radio sitting in front of her, he turns it off. He's like, "Well, I want to talk to you. All right." She turns it back on. He turns it off again. He's like, "What's your problem?" She goes, "Look, why don't you just take your little Cobra Kai and get out of here?" He goes, "Oh yeah. And that's going to solve everything." And then he picks up the radio and she's like, "Give me my radio." And he goes, "No," and turns away. "I said, give me my radio." He goes, "You promise you'll talk to me?" "Yes. Give me my radio. You promise?" "Yes." So he gives it to her and then she turns it on and then he grabs it from her and slams it to the ground and the music stops and she's pissed and shoves him and goes, "You just break my radio." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah." And so Daniel has come back by this time and he's just standing there watching all of this, not butting in or anything. And he sees that Allie clearly doesn't want to talk to this guy, but he's not interrupting. And it's only when Johnny throws the radio down to the ground and breaks it and won't leave her alone that he still hasn't said anything to Johnny or made any moves toward him. He just picks up the radio and hands it to Allie. That's the only thing he did. Johnny goes, "Don't touch it, punk." And he grabs it away from him. And Daniel's kind of got his palms up. "Hey, what's going on?" And he goes, Johnny's like, "You want it? You want it?" And he slams it into Daniel's chest and pushes him to the ground. So that. He made the first aggressive move. So I'm just defending myself is bullshit pretty much. And so then Daniel stands up and lunges for Johnny to fight back. And Johnny spins and trips him. And then he does it again from the other direction and trips him. And Allie's going, "Stop it." And Johnny's laughing, "I didn't do anything." And then he turns to Daniel and he goes, "Toro, Toro." But then Johnny spins and kicks him in the stomach pretty hard. And Daniel falls to the ground coughing and holding his stomach. And Johnny says to Allie, "Look, you started this. All I want to do is talk." Then he goes to Daniel, "How about you, hero? You had enough?" And so then Daniel springs up and punches him in the face. And, you know, he maybe should have stayed on the ground. I don't know. You could argue that. I could also see arguing he's got attacked and he's fighting back. I mean, I've fought back every time I got attacked and I didn't always win, but I always fought back. Anyways, so then Daniel says, "Okay, man, now we're even, huh?" And Johnny goes, "No mercy, man." And he kicks him twice. I think a front kick and a roundhouse kick, then punches him in the face. Daniel drops to the ground and Allie starts punching Johnny and Johnny goes, "It's your fault." And she goes, "Don't you ever think it's your fault? Why do you always have to fight?" So then they ride off on their motorcycles and spray dirt all over Daniel as he's like writhing in the ground. And then Johnny's telling, back to Johnny telling Miguel, he goes, "I figured that was that, but LaRusso wouldn't leave it alone. I hadn't seen the guy in months and the guy turns a water hose on my head," which is true. And we talked about before that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says, "So I chased him down and tried to put an end to things that night. Right. Turns out the guy had a karate master of his own, comes from out of nowhere, assaults me and my friends. I think Tommy got brain damage because of that fight."
Right.
And so he kind of left out the part where, they chased him down and beat the fuck out of him and said, "You couldn't leave well enough alone, could you? Well, now you're going to pay it." Punched him in the face twice, kicked him in the face, kicked him in the stomach, round kick to the face. He falls to the ground. They say, Johnny says, "Get him up." And Bobby's like, "Hey, leave him alone, man. He's had enough." "Shut up, Bobby. Look at him. He can't even stand up." Then Dutch, who we learn throws milk duds at babes in theaters, says, "So what? That don't mean squat." Bobby's like, "Johnny, leave him alone, man. He's had enough." "I'll decide when he's had enough." "What's wrong with you, Johnny? An enemy deserves no mercy." "Right. You're crazy, man." So then Johnny runs at him and jumps in for a flying kick. Miyagi jumps down and pushes Daniel out of the way, and Johnny kicks a sign that was behind him and breaks it in half. So he might have seriously hurt Daniel with that. So anyway, I mean, he just sort of glossed over all that with Miguel, didn't mention that he almost killed the guy. Then he says to Miguel, "So we decided to work it out at the tournament. We both made it to the finals. It was 2-2. And then there's a pause and Miguel's like, what happened? Who won? He goes, LaRusso won. I lost. And I was glad that he didn't say, but it was an illegal kick or something like that. You know,
yeah, right. Yeah.
But then he said, what was worse is I lost Allie. So, and then he goes, the reason I'm telling you all this is you got to watch out for the LaRussos. And I was sort of thinking, I mean, it's interesting to make it sort of like a Romeo and Juliet thing where Johnny doesn't like that his student is dating a LaRusso and Daniel doesn't like that his daughter's dating a Cobra Kai.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yeah. But I could actually see Johnny getting a kick out of his number one student dating Daniel's daughter, kind of like Robbie, you know, wanted to get in with Daniel to bother Johnny. That would have been another take on it.
Yeah. Johnny hates Daniel. Daniel's exactly, like his, so. Is like his lightning rod of hate.
It is mutual, though. Definitely
it's mutual. Yes.
But,
because Daniel was no angel in this episode.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
He was right, kind of yeah.
But I just wanted to clearly state my thoughts on all that.
Definitely. Well, I definitely made it clear before your view of those events, and I agree with a lot of that too. Johnny's viewpoint is definitely pretty skewed, and it's definitely, you know, when you ask two people what happened at the same event, you're probably going to get two different stories and sides of what really happened.
You are, but the two people here are Johnny and us because we saw it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
we saw what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. Johnny was definitely more the aggressor and definitely, you know, as far as, I mean, I think he had a right to defend himself against Daniel. Now he was the aggressor at first, but you know, when Daniel sucker punches him, he had a right to defend himself, but he definitely takes it too far. It's definitely something that I think a lot of people would agree that are in martial arts that, you know, well, with the exception maybe of Krav Maga, but all the other martial arts, it's typically, you know, if you know that other person doesn't know, you know, isn't maybe as skilled as what you are, you know, you don't, you know, you can defend yourself and you block and, you know, you might push them away or something, but you're not going to like beat the hell out of them like, you know, Johnny.
No mercy.
You know, did. Yeah. But it just, again, goes into a lot of what, you know, Johnny and the rest of the guys were taught under Kreese, you know, totally just misguided and very bad way of teaching, you know, young adults the way. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and we get a glimpse into Johnny's brain, trying to understand how he sees all that stuff. You know,
yeah,
he's just thinking of himself. You know, he's yeah. I think it's all about Allie. I mean, he's still on that. It's like, dude, that was like 35 years ago. Get over it.
Yeah, still hung up on her for sure. But it really affected him. I mean, he really did seem concerned about it. Like, you know, Miguel being involved with her. Like, you know, you really have to watch out for them. He really does feel like he was wronged. By Daniel,
and that is, I mean, I really did love the presentation of it because people do think of themselves as the hero in their own story. And that totally seems like the way that a guy like Johnny would think of those events, you know, but also even though they didn't show the scene in full, like I just laid it out for you guys, even with just the little bits of flashback that they did show, I think you could still kind of see that he wasn't exactly relating it as it happened. And the show's funny. So it was supposed to be a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So I liked it.
What part of all of that wasn't civil? Come on. That's the word he chose.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if your girlfriend won't talk to you, it's natural to just break her radio.
Yeah. He was a total bully.
Yeah, he had some issues, but yeah.
I mean, don't we all?
Still does.
First, yeah, I'm not one to talk, so.
but I love it. I mean, as I said, I think he's, from the very beginning of this series, he's growing as a person, and so it's really fun to flip it and see the depth of him and have some empathy for him while he's still exhibiting a lot of the flaws that he has, but they made it more funny, so it's just great.
Yeah,
agreed.
Okay, your turn, Rima.
Okay, my number two. Well, you mentioned it just earlier, you know, kind of going about Johnny and, you know, how he was kind of skewing his side of things. And but also Daniel was not perfect and certainly not perfect in this episode, which is my number two about he is still being a freaking jerk about Cobra Kai.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to all that balance that he supposedly got last time.
I know.
It's gone.
Thank you. I was just like, one-sided. Gosh. Yeah, again, so one-sided that, you know, we're getting these two extremes from both of them, and they're both, at least right now, at fault. And I just was bugged so much about how he was, you know, still trying to keep him banned from the All Valley tournament. And, you know, Johnny, he's not perfect, and he still has plenty of faults, and I still kind of disagree with some of... you know, the way he's going about teaching this new generation of Cobra Kai, he's still, you know, misguided. And you know, so I do have my issues with that. But he's not Kreese. You know, he's not the same person. And I think that really kind of hurt him a little bit when you know, they were talking about that at the at that board meeting. And, you know, he's just kind of lumping him into, you know, the same type of person as what Kreese was. And I think that really had an effect on Johnny when Kreese turned on him, you know, like he did in yeah. the movies and stuff. So I think that really upset him to think that, you know, I'm not that guy, you know, and I don't, you know, agree with how he was. And I just thought it was really unfair that, you know, Daniel just keeps knocking Johnny down at every turn. You know, in the other episodes, you know, he was trying to get him, you know, essentially evicted kicked out or, and yeah, right, get his yeah. rent raised. So he's forced to shut down and. Then goes to rub it in his face there at the convenience store, you know. And then again, here he is knocking him down again, trying to keep him from, you know, getting his, you know, dojo back into the tournament. And it just, like you said, not balanced. This is not, in my opinion, kind of turning the other cheek kind of, you know, quality.
He's fixated on all his grievances from over 30 years ago.
Yes, and that's my point. He is still hanging on to this over 35 years ago. And I mean, a lot of people, now granted, some people just don't change. Sometimes the person you were at 17, if you were an asshole then, you might be an asshole now. But many people are not the same people. I'm not the same person I was at 16 or 17. I was, you know, I've done a few not so nice things in my life, you know, as a teenager, but that's not me anymore. And I know a lot of people who, you know, that I thought were assholes in school, and then, you know, kind of meet them later on and they're like a different person. And they're like, God, you know, I was kind of a jerk. You know, sorry about that. You know, it's like, yeah, you were, but, you know, glad to hear that you're not like that anymore. So it just really bugs me that he just, you know, like I said, I don't agree with all of Johnny's teachings, but he's definitely, I don't think in the same category as Kreese. And it just really bugs me that Daniel just cannot let it go. And he's determined to keep knocking him down.
I mean, the show, because Johnny's so funny and the writers know it, and so they play up his kind of assholishness, then the line of where exactly he is a little vague. I mean, he says he's not Kreese, but he's sicking dogs on his students. And stuff. Right, yeah. And when Miguel says, you know, Johnny's like, they banned us, you know, we can't go. And Miguel says, since when do you care about the rules? We don't take no for an answer. You said it yourself. You got to fight this, Johnny, or you got to fight this. And he goes, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go down there and beat their asses. I literally laughed out loud at that. And if he had done that, then and Daniel walked in while Johnny's like beating them all up, then he would have had a good point, you know?
Right.
But then when Johnny says to the board, look, I admit Cobra Kai had its share of problems back in the 80s. My sensei didn't always play by the rules. That's why I left. That's pretty much the truth. And then he goes, but my Cobra Kai is different. It's a place where kids can come and feel like they belong, where they won't get picked on just because they're a bunch of losers. They're unique. Then he goes, I've watched firsthand as my students have gained confidence, grown stronger, learned how to stand up for themselves. Cobra Kai is making a difference in kids' lives. And honestly, they're making a difference in mine as well. I mean, you could read that as Johnny just trying to sell them, but it's all true.
Yeah.
You know? It's all true.
Yeah, he was well spoken too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty powerful scene too when Johnny was standing in front of the board at the meeting and explaining why he was there, and then Daniel walks in and, you know, right at the right time and says, you know, because you're banned for life or something like that. I thought that was a pretty powerful moment, but then it it goes out the window pretty quick because then Daniel kind of becomes a dick.
Well, they played some kind of bad guy music at that point. So
yeah.
I kind of felt like that was the vibe from the start. And it reminded me of in Karate Kid when Daniel decides, oh, shit, there's bullies. I need to learn karate. So he goes to the nearby dojo, which turns out to be Cobra Kai. And he's watching them. And when they all bow down, he sees Johnny in there. And he's like, fuck. And Johnny smiles at him. So I think it was kind of a play on that.
Yeah. And then he says,
the reverse of it.
This is horse shit. He was the biggest bully in high school and he hasn't changed at all. I can prove it. I was like, how? What was he going to prove? We never got to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering the same thing.
How was he going to do that?
Gut proof. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? He painted a dick on your face?
Yeah. That's probably what it was. Here, look at this. Look at this picture on my phone. They'll be like, phew!
I would not be looking to keep reminding people that that happened. Just let it go. Paint over it and move on.
Right.
That's the main thing he's pissed about.
Still mad.
That would have been funny.
Look at
and
that.
Then they're like, I love that they're like, oh, they totally turn on Daniel. I forget exactly what they said, but they're like, that doesn't sound like the old Cobra Kai. By the way, that's a badass name for a dojo.
They were so clueless. It was funny. They were like, we can ban people?
Yeah. And they're like arguing like any committee about the colors of their logo that haven't changed for 30 years. And they're trying to, if we change the gold, we'll bring more people in.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
It's really charming the way they do the little things like that on the show, little extra things.
Yeah. Number two was pretty much the same thing as your number three, Jay. I had the whole Johnny's recollection of events with the flashbacks. I had the whole thing written out too. I thought it was pretty slick how we got to see a little bit of the inner workings of Johnny there.
Yeah. So. It reminded me of that YouTube video. I bet you that they kind of, I wouldn't be surprised actually if that YouTube video that posits that Daniel is actually the bad guy of Karate Kid really inspired the writers of the show, you know, because it's not exactly that. It's not necessarily saying that Daniel was the bad guy at Cobra Kai. It is not, but it is sort of evening the played field between them, saying that Daniel's not perfect.
Right.
And
exactly.
That scene with Johnny really reminded me of all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we got the, well, we already said it. He feels that losing Ali was worse than losing the tournament, but those two things together, he just can't let go of, man. Makes me feel a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah, and it also makes me even more hopeful that Elizabeth Shue will be in season 3.
Oh, man, what's going to happen?
Did they confirm that? I thought it was still kind of a I thought, okay, I was going to say, I know that it's been a rumor that they were trying to get her.
She said that she's thought about it or something, but I don't know if she's trying to be coy or if she doesn't want to. She's in a, I think she's in that new Tom Hanks movie, so she's still a movie star.
Well, and she is in the Boys.
That
series. That is really great, by the way, if you haven't seen that. So she's in that too, and plays a really interesting character. So yeah, she's still out there and still relevant, and maybe they're trying to get her. I would love it. That'd be great.
It was pretty funny, his story about how they met. He was throwing milk duds at her. Dutch was throwing milk duds at her. He's like, why would you throw milk? It's an alpha move.
Chicks like it when you treat them like crap.
Yeah, girls like it when you treat them like crap. Oh, that pissed Lucy off. She didn't like that at all.
No, I had an issue with that as well. I was like, you know, that it might, I think it attracts the wrong kind of girls if that's what you think, you know, is what gets girls' attention and they like it. Well, then you're attracting the wrong kind of girl because no, we don't like it.
I know Lisa Moreno. I think she listens, and I know she likes Cobra Kai. And she had posted something in our Patreon Facebook group that said, like, this video showing that, you know, when you say somebody does something like a girl, that's a good thing. And she tagged me and Rima, and I wondered if I didn't know for sure why she did that. I thought maybe it was because we were laughing at some things that Johnny said about doing stuff like a girl, you know?
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. But
well, Yeah.
I hope it doesn't come off that we're agreeing with Johnny. No. I'm laughing at him when he says shit like that. Like right. when no. he's saying, you know, oh, girls like it when you treat them like crap. I did laugh out loud, but it's because he's an idiot.
Yes. Same. I think because of on last week's podcast when we were talking about it, and it's when Aisha was coming to the dojo and yes, he was, yeah. you know, talking saying, about, no you know, don't act like a girl and don't do this like a girl. And she's like, right. what do you mean? Like a girl. So I took a lot of issue with that because of course, I've never, yeah. but, well, like, and like many of us do. But so I think maybe that's how I took it when she had tagged us in that. That was a nice little,
I mean, it's funny message. When Johnny says stuff like that, but yes. not because we agree with them.
Not because yes. what it means. Yeah. Or what he thinks.
Yeah.
It's just because Johnny's funny.
Someone not be so PC on these shows.
Right. Yeah. It's funny.
Although yeah. one thing they didn't mess with, did you catch the other thing too? He was, you know, all the stuff that he said in these two episodes, there was one thing they didn't mess with. That was the no means no.
Yes.
Well, if it gets physical, no means no. That's what he said. I was like, yeah, you don't want to yeah. mess with that one.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. I was like, please, please. You know?
Yeah. If he had said, yeah, that would be a bridge too far for people to still have any sympathy with Johnny.
Right.
If he just said no means yes, blanket.
Yes.
No always means yes. The Cobra Kai way.
Yeah. And, you know, the way he was fucking around with Allie, grabbing a radio and throwing it to the ground.
Yeah.
I bet he was more like that back then.
Be a good way to get your show canceled, too.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go into the whole, like, how I felt like Johnny evolved and signs of him, you know, not being a total caveman. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them. If, you know, if things are getting physical, no means no. But if you're just asking, you're out, you're a Cobra Kai. All the babes want to date a Cobra Kai. I think even that pushes the line, you know. I mean, persistence is good, but you also need to clue in on whether somebody is like seriously a no or whether they're just shy. Like, I know you pursued Lucy for quite a while, right?
Yeah, I pursued Lucy for 6 years.
Aw, wow. But,
but in a good way. She wasn't it wasn't stalking or anything.
She wasn't like, yeah, calling the police or anything.
Nah, I just
we all worked at
down.
The movie theater.
She enjoyed the yeah. chase.
Yeah, she's admitted to that. A little bit.
A little bit.
That's okay. That's okay.
She had a couple guys chasing after her. Richard won out.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
She's the most persistent.
So then yeah, that whole celebration of the two of them at the end I thought was really cool, and he hugs Miguel, and that's just a nice show of, like, I don't know, father son kind of vibe. And then he gives him the hard alcohol, so he can't be 100%
he's got to keep his edge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then the real thread was where Miguel's mom invites him to dinner, and he's like, I love these bananas. Oh, those are called plantains. In English, we call them bananas.
Yeah, that was funny.
But she's talking about her no good husband that she had to get far away from. Sounds like he was violent. And then she says, you can't let the mistakes of the past determine your future. Mm-hmm. And you can tell he really takes that to heart. And after that, he goes home, he starts cleaning up his filthy apartment, he opens the fridge, and he's going for a beer, but then he chooses orange juice instead. he goes and pays his father back all his money, and I thought that was a touching scene where he says, I never needed your money, it was just the only thing you had to give. Goodbye, Sid. Like, that felt like some good closure for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started writing a letter to his son. You know, dear Robbie, I know you refuse to answer my calls and I refuse to text or email. But then he's saying he realized he's screwed up in his life and most of all in his relationship with Robbie. And he's starting to write, I know I can't change the past, but if you give me a chance. So just that one thing that she said, I mean, he's already, just by starting up Cobra Kai, he's kind of getting his life in order. But this episode, I really thought that was a shift for him too. To yeah. try to clean himself up and get back a good relationship with his son and everything. But then he gets interrupted by some guys lighting his car on fire.
Right. Just when he gets on the right path, somebody's out there doing something to him again, and it puts him right back in his old mindset. It's like he's never going to get there because he keeps, these things keep happening.
Sabotage. Yeah, why did they do that? I was confused why Louis went over there with his buddies and started bashing in his car.
Because he, when they were having that dinner with Daniel's mom, and Louis was there as well having dinner, and you know they're talking about you know Cobra Kai and being let back into the All Valley tournament. And his mom's like, "Oh my gosh, they're just a bunch of bullies," and you know, his cousin's chiming in, you know, about it and stuff. And he's like, you know, and that's really bad because you paid to have his car repaired for him and everything. And he's like, we ought to go over and take that back, you know, like go repo his car or something for like, you know. So I, you know, that I feel like is where that was kind of coming from, is he was kind of giving him a payback.
I missed that.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he's also not too bright.
No,
he's a fuck up.
Yeah.
Right. Because he said, like, this is, what did he say? So, this is to remind you not to mess with the LaRussos or something like that. You
know? Yeah. He did exactly what Daniel's wife was complaining, like using their name to, at that dinner, he was saying, oh, I met these bikers. We could sell motorcycles. I told him I'm a LaRusso or whatever. Oh, don't use our name for that. And then he did the same thing, only worse with Johnny.
Like 2 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. Drunk. Okay, Rima, you're number one.
My number one was actually Johnny's side of things, which I think that you covered really well, and Rich, you added to that too. So I don't have a whole lot to add, but my favorite part, again, I'll just say, was I was really impressed that what he said, the important thing that he lost was Allie and not the tournament. And I was like, that's right. So I think I'll just see what I've got here in my notes. I want to talk a little bit about Miguel, that he is such a sweet kid and funny and charming. You know, when he was out on his date with Samantha, I like how he's gained confidence and being assertive, which Johnny does get, you know, the whole, you know, just like you said, Jay, I think it's a good balance to have and being persistent and assertive, but also kind of cluing in if there's really just like no chance. Someone keeps saying no. I think there's a fine line there, but it's good to see how he's because he, I think, was so shy, never would have done it on his own before. And Johnny's kind of bringing that out in him a little bit. And I, you know, with that whole relationship that they have. And I think as well, Miguel's kind of playing in that with Johnny too. And I think Johnny's
teaching
seeing,
him.
And I think Johnny's kind of seeing how he could actually. Other. Yeah, they're really good for each other. They're bringing out, I think, the best in each other. Miguel tries so hard to keep balancing Johnny out when he's like, "I'm going to kick their ass," and he's like, "No." You know,
just make a fist and don't do anything. But you know, about being assertive, like when he asks Sam out and she says, "Oh, you know, after the whole thing with Kyler, I'm just not dating right now. It's really sweet of you, though." That totally reminded me of things of asking girls out and getting rejected in high school. And immediately I just would shut down like, ah, crap. Okay. Sorry. But what he did, because he was inspired by what Johnny said about, you know, there's no or whatever. What if it's not a date? And that's the totally right thing to say, because I mean, that's kind of what I ended up doing in my dating life anyway, just kind of take the pressure off it, like just make it about two people hanging out and having fun. And then if it naturally goes somewhere, that's great. But you don't like label it as this is a romantic night, you know, I mean, a little bit later maybe, or if the vibe is right. But it's a nice way to get to know someone when you kind of take that pressure off and just see if there's chemistry there. So I just really liked the way that played out.
Yeah. Me too.
And Johnny and Miguel hasn't been corrupted yet. He's just gotten the good stuff from Cobra Kai. You know, he hasn't become a jerk or nothing. He still has really nice table manners, for instance.
Yes.
They were eating with Johnny. His phone went off and he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah. The only flaw with him in this episode, these two episodes, is when he went over to talk, to try to meet Daniel, which I thought was probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Show him what he's all about. But then he saw Sam laughing with Robbie.
Yeah.
And I think, and then he turned around and left. And it reminded me of when Daniel went to the Encino Oaks Country Club and saw what he thought he saw Allie kissing Johnny, you know,
good
and then
call
he just
back.
Left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Although made an assumption was, on what he saw yeah. and didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a little like insecure to think, oh, just because she's laughing with some guy that just ruined everything. But,
well, he was already feeling kind of defeated because he knew like Daniel, you know, has this thing against Cobra Kai and, you know, he's in Cobra Kai. So he already feels like, you know, he's kind of fighting an uphill battle at that point. And then, so,
and Sam's not being very good about it either. Saying when Daniel asks who you're talking to on your computer, she goes, "Nobody, just my lab partner." And
he hears that, you know.
And yeah.
So yeah,
I'm nobody.
That doesn't feel good.
That's the soap opera part of the show,
right there. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway,
I mean, I guess with soap opera stuff, I was a fan of soaps as a kid, and
same.
When soap opera stuff bugs me is when it feels unearned, like the drama is just like the characters aren't even acting like themselves, but they're just being dramatic to add to the drama, or they suddenly change personalities, or their twin shows up or something. But if it's just about relationships and, you know, stuff like that, and it's done well, then I get pretty tied up in it.
Yeah, I have to remind myself these are teenagers too, which they do stuff like that.
Yes, teenagers
make
are dramatic.
Assumptions. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Make assumptions. Yeah. Where are we?
Number
Rich
one.
Is number one. Yeah.
My number one was the buildup over these last two episodes. You know, they kind of picked on Daniel on these last two episodes. It's like, oh, let's all jump on the We Hate Daniel train. Daniel tried to ban Johnny from the All Valley tournament, which we just talked about. Miguel hooks up with Daniel's daughter, Samantha. And Johnny's still holding on to memories of Daniel stealing Allie. And then Daniel's cousin, Louis, meets the biker gang, which we talked about, torched his car, blames it on Daniel. By the way, once again, Amanda pointed out at that family dinner that hiring family was not the best or smartest policy. And she was right, once again.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
although that was a bit rude, I thought. I liked the kind of mother-in-law-ness of Lucille, Daniel's mother, where she's kind of nagging Amanda by saying, oh, I don't like that package stuff. Yeah. And she's like, well, I was at work. And she's like, oh, yeah, I understand. But hey, try doing it with a single parent. And hey, remember when I used to come home from work and start cooking from scratch?
But, yes.
But when Amanda kicked in there with, hey, you need to stay out of this. And, you know, it's your fault that he was hired anyway. I was like, ooh, that really escalated quick there.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. It's like classic mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Wife fight, you know. It was good to see the actress reprise her role. What's her name?
Yeah, Daniel's mom.
Randy Heller.
Heller, yeah.
Yeah, played Lucy.
I thought so too.
Yeah, it's so cool. Great. So cool to see original actors reprise their characters. It's kind of a bit of fan service there, huh?
And she's grandma now, and it was good.
Yeah. And so was, you know, this buildup over the last couple of episodes really had me going, and I was like, yeah, where is this going? And then it leaves us with Johnny. You know, where does Daniel live? That's where he lives, and he's about ready to go. I'm like, oh man, what's going to happen? Are we finally going to see that fight?
I know.
Which is what everybody wants to see, right?
That's intense, man.
That was where I was like, no, this episode's over already. I want to keep going.
Oh, God. Yeah. If you ever see anyone saying in that same tone of voice, where does Jason live? Please don't tell them.
Don't tell, right.
Mexico.
Yeah. That
was okay. That was great. All right. Mine is callbacks, and it's long and there's a lot, but we've covered
That's
a bunch of
said.
Them.
Sorry.
It's long and there's a lot.
Complicated.
Daniel, I mean, you're right. There was a lot of negative stuff about Daniel, but also I really liked all the stuff of him training Robbie, and I thought that was nice, you know, him passing on his knowledge and everything and all the nostalgia around it.
Yeah.
And the song at the beginning when Daniel's having him do the wax on, wax off, and squeegee the window side to side and all that. That is the same thing they played in the Karate Kid movie when Daniel was practicing at the beach and first tried the crane technique out there. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. I get the idea, but yeah. I like that. Then, yeah, all the similar techniques. And I like that Daniel uses some of the same exact techniques as Miyagi, but adds his own stuff. Mm-hmm. And he makes it fit the environment of the car dealership. And I was also thinking, it seems a little out of left field that Daniel would be own a car dealership. But then I realize, oh, duh. It's about how in the Karate Kid movie, cars were a sign of status, and Ali's friends all had the cool cars, and Daniel just had his bike, right. You know, and he felt kind of like in a one down position because of that. And then when he got Miyagi's car, that became like he was more on an even level, and also just that he was waxing all those cars. So I feel like that's what ties the car dealership back to the original movie.
Oh, and Miguel has a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he needs Sam to come pick him up. I did the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So that's another tie-in. And then let's see. I like that, you know, when they did that whole thing where he shows Robbie, oh, you are learning, you know, starts punching at him and he's blocking, and then they bow. But Robbie, unlike Daniel, looked him in the eye, because Daniel, Miyagi bopped him on the head. Always look eye. But yeah. Robbie knew. And later Daniel says Robbie's more of a natural than he was. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It's too much of a natural. It's you have to kind of, or for, I should speak for myself. Sorry. I have to kind of, you know, push aside how quickly he's picking up and how well he's able to take on. And the same with Miguel, when Miguel in the cafeteria, you know, had the fight with the bullies and was able to kind of, you know, take on multiple fighters and be skilled. And it's kind of same with Robbie. I was like, oh, he learned a lot in a very short amount of time.
I know.
But that's, I mean, okay. I'll let it go.
It seemed like they were supposed to, you know, Daniel took Robbie out and you see him on the docks kicking, and you see him, that whole sequence where he has him stand on the tree, the fallen tree. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other sequences in there too, and I'm like, is this supposed to be all happening in one day? Because when Nico goes to kung fu, it's like an hour and they just kick a lot, you know. So it did feel like they crammed a lot in there, and I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be over time or what, but it made it seem like it was just one day's worth of training. Suddenly he knows karate.
Yeah,
the fighting is a little confusing too, like when Johnny fought the biker gang, when Robbie fought the two gangsta kids that wanted him to steal a car. Like, are they pulling their punches or something? Because the bad guys don't seem that hurt. You know, I mean, I always thought karate was to like take them down with one or two moves, and then they, you know, to get the fight over as quickly as possible. It must be just for the show dramatic effect, huh?
Maybe. I know the Miguel's, or sorry, Robbie's friend, well, I guess, I don't know if they're really friends, but the guys he hung out with that wanted him to help steal some parts from the store definitely punched like amateurs. That was terrible.
Wasn't very well choreographed. They were telegraphing their punches. They were punching too high. And
yeah, you don't come in swinging like that wide arm swing. That's way easy to block. So, I mean,
it looked choreographed.
Yeah, yeah.
The karate, more callback stuff, the karate tournament ad looks just like the ad from Karate Kid, which I guess was part of the joke that they haven't changed up their iconography in 30 years. The whole Cobra Kai lifetime ban, they said, was for unsportsmanlike conduct from teachers Terry Silver, John Kreese, and Mike Barnes. That's, you know, maybe John Kreese, that part is from the first Karate Kid when he had his students sweeping the leg and stuff, but most of that is from Karate Kid 3, which is totally stupid, in my opinion. Even though it's directed and written by the same team, I mean, they just run out of ideas or something. I went back and read the synopsis, and it just reminded me of so many parts of that movie that just kind of hurt to read about again.
That was the way I'm of the 80s. If a movie made money, yeah, they made how many
crank
sequels?
Them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen with the series, because I didn't like season two quite as much, but yeah, don't make a sequel unless you have a really good idea.
Yeah.
But Terry Silver was the owner of Cobra Kai, and there was this whole convoluted plan to get back at Daniel, and they mention, you know, Daniel's wife says about the bonsai, you know, oh, don't go starting a bonsai shop, because you know how that went, and Daniel's like, oh, Miyagi's Little Trees was a good business idea, but we just had bad luck, because in Karate Kid 3, well, I guess I shouldn't spoil the plot, but there's a lot of references to Karate Kid 3 that Terry Silver and Mike Barnes are all from Karate Kid 3.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I need to
look up Mike Barnes. I knew who Terry Silver was, but
he's the guy that Daniel fought.
Yeah.
The kid. So maybe we'll, even though I just didn't really actually give a ringing endorsement for that movie, at some point on this podcast, we could watch it and talk about it.
Yeah. Well, they're on Netflix now, so
everyone
has access.
But what else? Johnny. No, we already talked about that. Sorry. At the junkyard training at the beginning of the second episode we watched, Johnny's wearing a red jacket and a headband. I think those are either the same ones or they look a lot like what he wore in high school.
It right. looked like he stepped right out of Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Like the exact, cool. that Cobra Kai t-shirt, the red jacket. And I was like, it looks like he just stepped off his dirt bike in Karate Kid. Exactly the same. Yeah. I loved it.
It's cool.
Are you losers? Cobra Kai,
black Cobra.
No, sensei. Are you nerds? No, sensei. Are you sure? No, sensei. Yeah.
That he sends dogs on him. Six dogs.
Yeah. I want to know what the dog did to Hawk. It caught him.
I know. Well, did you hear the joke about that later?
Oh, no.
Because, let's see. So he sticks the dogs on him and he's all, don't be afraid, they smell fear. And then later Sam just totally caved under her father's, you know, disdain for Cobra Kai, but she suggests that Miguel go to a different, why don't you try a different dojo? And Miguel goes, I couldn't do that to Sensei Lawrence. Sensei's tough, but he makes us tough. I mean, you can ask Aisha, Hawk. Actually, you can't ask Hawk. He's in the hospital right now getting a rabies shot.
Oh. Got bit.
So, Rima, any notes?
Most of my notes are just some of the funny lines. I never get enough of them in this show. There's so many good ones. When Johnny in the beginning is talking, or in the first episode in the beginning, talking to the kids in the dojo, and they're all lined up, and he's, you know, kind of walking around them and, you know, giving one of his speeches, and, you know, he says this concussion nonsense. I just laughed at that because that's kind of a big thing, you know, right now. It was, I think, probably still a big thing, and was kind of becoming a big thing when my daughter was still in school. They were really kind of paying attention to kids getting concussions and, you know, taking precautions against that kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of funny. I love when Aisha gets to punch everyone. Like, everybody just needs to get punched in the face once. That was really funny.
Because they flinch, so that's flinching. Solution.
Yeah, it's not a terrible. It's not a terrible solution. I'm going to tell you, it's tough, but it's not actually a terrible solution. It actually does kind of take it out of you a little bit. Kind of takes that fear out of you. So, you know, I'm not saying I recommend that, but it is an effective thing. Once you get it, you know, you're not as scared anymore. I want to raid Johnny's closet for his vintage t-shirts. I'm, I'm right. digging all of his, you know, throwback 80s
or what
shirts.
He would call his t-shirts.
Yeah.
Right. They're not vintage to him, but, you know, I loved he had this really awesome Triumph motorcycle t-shirt that I was just like, I have to have that. And I actually, whenever I look up, try to find news items for Cobra Kai, of course, whenever you're typing that into, you know, Google search, all of this merch comes up. So there's really cool Cobra Kai t-shirts that like Johnny wears in the show that you can actually purchase. I think there's even a face mask. There's a Cobra Kai face mask. I was looking at like, I don't know, that might be kind of cool.
I think it was Mark, or God, I feel bad for not knowing. I think it was Mark, but one of the Zed heads got me a little placard that says "Strike first, strike hard, no mercy," and it's got the Cobra Kai logo on it. So I have that hung up in my podcast area.
Nice, cool. That's nice. It's cool. I think I'm tempted to get something. I don't know, I want to check it out when I have some more time. When Miguel was talking about his idea for first date for Sam, and he was talking about the chocolates and looking at the stars and such, and something about a three-way with chocolate or something. And Johnny was like, the only part that made any sense was the three-way.
Or he's all, hi, sensei, I need to ask you something. There's this girl at school. Is she hot?
Yeah.
She's hot?
Smart and funny and cool and likes karate.
Is she hot?
I want to ask her out, but I just don't know. Don't know. What's there to think about? She's hot and all those other things.
All those other things. Like kind of lumping them all up into one thing. I like when he offered him the drink and he says, here, drink this. It'll grow hair on your balls. He says, is that a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing. Yes. I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess it is. I don't know. I don't have balls, but I'll take his word for it. And then I liked when the scene at the junkyard, when he's standing and talking to the his kids there from the dojo and talking about winning the All Valley tournament. This is kind of paraphrasing a little bit what he says, but he says, if you want to win the All Valley tournament, you have to give me better than your best, which I loved because the song that they played during the tournament scenes in the movie Karate Kid was You're the Best of the Best. If you remember that, it was very popular.
You're the best around.
Yes, thank you. That's right.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. That was supposed to be in Rocky III, and then they used Eye of the Tiger instead. So then this got put in Karate Kid.
Good choice. Yeah, I think it definitely fits the movies, and I'm glad that they made those changes. But I just thought that was interesting how he kind of threw that line in there because that was, and it's a huge song still. You know, people still love it. You know, for that scene as it's played during the tournament. So. That's all my notes. Sorry, that was a lot.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. I liked it when he was on the phone with the tournament committee, and the last thing he says is, "You don't ban me, I'll ban you."
It's funny. What does that mean?
Just anger right there.
Slamming the phone. I love that where he's still got these old school phones because you don't have those phones anymore. And that was so satisfying in, you know, back in the day when you had those landline phones and you could do that. You could slam that phone when you were really angry.
Slam it down and hear
someone.
That little ring. Ding. Yeah.
Yes. It was so satisfying. You can't do that with your cell phone. It's Anyway, sorry. That was interruptive.
No, that was good. I liked, too, that Daniel found, you know, see, in the movie, Miyagi took him out to the beaches, right, in the ocean. And in this episode, Daniel took Robbie up to the mountains, which I thought was pretty cool.
Cause
I feel at home in the mountains, so I like that. Plus, it kind of, and then he was doing that one-handed handstand on the rock. I was like, this is a little bit like Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
Dwarf Moon of Endor.
That was a bit much.
Yeah.
It looked a little fake. But I did like, that he made him close his eyes and listen to the sounds of nature and pointed out, no cell phones or family arguments. And it's just, I already mentioned it earlier, but I loved seeing Daniel use a lot of what Miyagi taught him, but then bring his own personality to it too and add things that fit his personality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I like that. And then I liked how he went off and watched hockey on his phone while he was training. Yeah.
It doesn't count when it's hockey. Plus, Robbie was, the last thing I have on my notes was, Robbie's starting to warm up to Daniel, too. And I think he wanted to tell Daniel
about his dad,
Johnny's son. But it was probably good that he didn't because Daniel's a hothead. And
he'll find out.
That would have been an awkward ride home.
The longer he keeps it from him, the worse it's gonna be.
Yeah. That's it for my notes.
Something you just said about Robbie that made me think of something. I forgot what it was.
Robbie's
okay.
You
guys mentioned all the funny things. Well, there was a couple more when Hawk shows Miguel and Aisha his tattoo.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's badass.
Holy crap.
Were your parents okay with that? He's all, they have no idea. Definitely have to wear a t-shirt until college, probably longer. please don't tell them.
Where did he get the money for that? That had to be expensive. Big old tattoo.
He's a dick, by the way. He's throwing milk duds at somebody in the theater, just like Dutch did.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Definitely taking more of the bad personality traits out of Cobra Kai and running with it.
It's an alpha move, man.
Mm-hmm. Right. I liked when Amanda and Lucille were fighting and Amanda says, "What do you want? Whatever you want, I'll go in the kitchen and make it right now." And Anthony goes, "If you're going in the kitchen, I'll take another Yoo-hoo." And Samantha goes, "Oh my God, Anthony, you make everything worse."
She's so right.
She's so right. Actually, it's kind of refreshing, I guess, that that's the only dimension to his character right now. He just makes everything worse. Johnny looked into the catalog or whatever it was, brochure that had the ad for the tournament, and he sees an ad for $450 nunchucks and he goes, "What a rip." And I'm like, "Yeah, they don't cost that much, right?" Do they? I thought they were like $50.
Maybe if they're made with gold.
I know.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. I don't have nunchucks. My cousin did, but I'm pretty sure they didn't pay $450 for them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Couple more. Daniel mentioned that his dad died when he was young. He said that to Robbie.
Yeah.
So and now we know for sure about his dad. And that was it. Yeah, that's all I got. That was good. Let's take a little break. There's a little bit more to come, so stay with us. All right, we're back. As I mentioned earlier, no news this week, so let's get into some listener feedback. Rima?
Okay, so first one that we have is from Alicia Stout. She says, about last week's episodes, that asshat Kyler got what was coming, and I was super happy to see Miguel stand up to him. I love the counterbalance of Johnny dusting off the trophies in order to find his inner balance versus Danny digging up his gi after having a moment in front of Miyagi's grave. Something I found interesting while reading Pat Morita's info on IMDb was that he and his family were actually sent to the Japanese internment camps in Manzanar. I visited Manzanar not too long ago on one of my several trips up to Mammoth from Southern California. I couldn't imagine living in those conditions. Very sad.
I might want to check that out. I've never been there. So the next one's from Alicia this week, because I had gotten her message last week too late, so figured we'd read it this time. But this one's from her about this week's episodes.
She writes, "Love the scene with Johnny and Miguel sitting on the curb as he explained what happened back in high school with Daniel through his point of view. Very interesting. The writers are doing a really good job of letting us sympathize with Johnny. I'm at the point where I'm not liking Daniel a whole lot right now." Yeah. These were the We Hate Daniel episodes.
Not for me.
Same for some, not all.
He's not perfect, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Dabolino Bob Grippy says, "More and more I'm reminded that I'm there to watch Daniel and Johnny, and pretty much everything else is schlock, including Robbie and his story and Sam and her story. I predict that Johnny is heading towards success and Daniel's life is headed for the toilet, and only then can they come together and completely destroy John Kreese and somehow keep the balance." LOL. I do like the Johnny and Daniel stuff better, but I like the kids stuff too. Like, the date was nice. And
yeah, they had cute chemistry together. But yeah, Johnny and Daniel's stories definitely at tops for me. And I like his point about Johnny, you know, or where he's predicting Johnny is heading towards success. You know, I guess we'll find that out as we keep watching. And I won't say anything, but it looks like he did. I guess all those kids coming to the dojo did pay off. I mean, he had quite a lump of cash he threw at Sid, you know, and paid back. And he did replace his TV with a nice flat screen. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would be surprised if that's where it was going. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It feels like the whole, like, Richard, you keep bringing up, is this show keeps kind of tipping the balance one way, but then tipping it back the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for it to just go way out of whack, I guess it could. I don't know.
Yeah. Joey Poole says, dig in the coverage. Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude.
Right on. Gemma Hall. Hi, everyone. Really loving the podcast. I can't rewatch the episodes at the moment as I'm not paying on YouTube. I binged watch that first time and didn't have to pay. So I'm hoping to get to put on Netflix UK. I do adore the show, though, and I'll just settle for listening to you guys. My sister just watched it, though, and she loved it. Anyway, bullying. It does hit a tough spot with me. I do find some of Johnny's comments harsh, but I also agree that you have to get some sort of thick skin. But there are other ways around it. I think I've always been the classic nerd with big glasses and braces in high school, which never did me any favors. Every day could be pretty much torture, and the way I described myself was, you know, Drew Barrymore as Josie Grossi in Never Been Kissed. Well, that was pretty much me with the same huge crush on one guy for years. I was never bullied by one particular person. It was always random comments and strangers. I did have good friends, though. Anyway, I sort of hid behind and in my shows, especially Buffy, and I think my love of kick-ass fighting came from The Karate Kid, where I could definitely relate to Daniel, moving a lot and being raised by our mother. I still very much hide in my shows in a way, especially The Walking Dead. It's like a security blanket. But Buffy saved me and taught me that you don't have to be popular to totally kick butt and be strong. I'm still a nerd, but not so much Josie Grossi. I'm proud of it, though, and my passion for TV shows. If I didn't have my shows, I don't know how I'd cope with four kids and life, blah, blah. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep it up. Gemma from South Wales. Right on.
Nice. Yeah, I met her when we had Walker Stalker London. She's really nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, one cool thing these days with the internet versus when we were growing up, I think the internet is a big part of why geek culture has just blown up, and now there's no stigma behind being a pop culture nerd at all, because we got on the internet and quickly realized, because you could reach out to people, that, oh my God, there's so many people that feel just like me about all this stuff, and now we can connect and be with our own types, you know? So that helps a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, I had some experiences like what you're talking about too, Gemma, in school, and maybe people like us wouldn't have felt as alone. Although I tended to find my geeky friends even back then, like Rich here.
Yeah.
Aww.
Geeks rule.
Geeks do rule. I was the only geek in my school, though, so I definitely understand that kind of isolated feeling of, you know, and you're like, you just almost... Now it's like it's fine to you know, scream out about how much of a geek you are and what you geek out on and what you like to nerd out about or something. But back then it was kind of like, oh, I'm just not going to talk about that, because it was just a very different
and
way.
You know, I bet you there were some other closeted geeks in your school that you guys just didn't know.
Maybe. Yeah. We were definitely just, I mean, I've always been the shy person, even with, you know, some of my friends, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to be the first to say it. If they say it, I'll say it, but I'm not going to be the first to put myself out there and be vulnerable about it. So maybe it's definitely possible, but yeah, I was definitely that closeted geek for a long time. I'm just going to sit here and just go home and read my comics, you know?
Now it's hip to be geek.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like shameful not to. And Mary Kay Owen says, hi, all. Just started the most recent podcast and wanted to chime in. I studied Okinawan karate up until my green belt when I started roller derby and quit. It's either the same or very similar to Miyagi's style. Yeah. I mean, he's from Okinawa, so maybe it's the same. Anyway, she goes, that kata from the movie and show are very similar to what I learned. The big difference is that once you have it down, you tend to pick up the pace. We went Tai Chi slow towards the beginning while learning.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cool. Hmm. Wow, she did roller derby.
I'd say she sounds like a badass. I would love to roller derby. I wish they had that around here. I would totally dig that. That's awesome. She's badass.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Excited to wrap up the first season next week.
God, that went by fast.
You know. Finally, the last two episodes. We get to see what happens.
We get to see what happens. The climax. Yes.
We get to see what our next gigantic cliffhanger is going to be.
It was super fun to get a few more messages this week. I love that. If you guys want to join in, you want to write in or even record a voice message and send it in, you can email us at waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
Cool. We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, I just did a big, well, I mentioned it last time, but the whole Last of Us 2 episode, and me and Lucy and Derek just recorded an episode where we talk about things that we're into right now because of the whole coronavirus and people looking for things to get into. Ooh. And we also talked about the recent Negan Lives comic that Robert Kirkman put out. I don't know if everybody knows that, but if you're a Walking Dead comic fan, that series ended almost exactly a year ago, but they just recently did a one-shot issue to help comic stores. Kirkman and Adlard did it for free, and you know, you have to pay for it, but they gave it to the comic stores for free to help revive them during this tough time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we talked about that.
Yeah, really looking at mine right now. Yep.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it's good. I got to edit that episode and get it published. But next episode of this podcast is Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 9 and 10, Different But Same, and Mercy.
Cool.
Can't wait.
All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
By the way, I think we're going to have a guest co-host next week.
Is she hot?
Well, it's Dan.
Is he hot?